CLE Files, the ultimate Browns podcast.
Welcome aboard. I'm your host, Sean Drotar, and with week four in the books, it's time to take a spin around the NFL and tackle the biggest stories with the coach, Brian Billick, joining us as he does every week to share his special insights regarding what happened last weekend and what's to come this weekend. And today in this week's Rapid Fire Overtime segment, the Monday morning quarterback himself, Peter King, will join us. But as always, we start with the big interview. So let's get to it.
The big interview.
Joining us is a sports director from ABC 5 in television on Cleveland and the co-host of Baskin and Phelps on 92.3 The Fan. He's everywhere in Cleveland at Andy_Baskin on Twitter. It is Andy Baskin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. The Cleveland Browns, less so. Let's see if we can figure out what happened here. Now, Cody Kessler in his second start, maybe not quite as successful as the first, didn't look quite as sharp, but didn't look bad. But another game drops, so they drop to Washington, they continue to plummet a little bit, 0-4. This doesn't look to me, however, like an 0-4 team. Now, they weren't expecting to compete for the AFC Championship or anything. What sort of improvement have you seen, if any, over the first month?
Well, I think there's been tons of improvement, and it's a weird situation here in Cleveland. I know on my radio show today, you know, we kept asking people if this was, you know, if there was such thing as moral victories, and, you know, we have this like subliminal standings we've been doing, and in the subliminal standings, the Browns are 2-2. Because I think people are appreciating the fact that it's a young team that drafted 14 guys and 13 guys made the team and the other guy was on the practice squad. So, it's all about baby steps for this team. And when you lose your first two starting quarterbacks of the season and you find yourself with Cody Kessler, who there were huge question marks about going into last week's game at Miami and then coming back to the game against Washington, Kessler has started to impress some people here in Northeast Ohio. And it's going to be interesting to see if RG3, once he gets off the injured reserve, if they'll put him back in place or if they want to go, you know, steady with the course with Cody Kessler. And then maybe Josh McCown can also come back. So the quarterback situation has been questionable since 1999, and it continues to be questionable about what the future of the team is. There have been some improvements. They've had some major issues at center. Austin Ryder, who was just brought in from Washington, he got hurt at the end of the game, so he's done for the season. We just found that out today. Cam Irving, the first-round pick from a year ago, who had just finally moved over to center after playing on the offensive line last year with Alex Mack at center. So they moved him to center at the beginning of the season. He is hurt, and so now they're going to have to go back to John Greco, who's normally a lineman as well. So Greco has played center for a limited amount of times in his career, and it looks like Greco is going to be the center again with Cody Kessler. So you're kind of looking at, you know, two different centers for Cody Kessler over 3 weeks. And, you know, just to have Kessler come back out and start a third game for a team that had gone five straight games with different starting quarterbacks dating back to last season, there's a lot of positive things still going on, despite the fact that this team is 0-4.
Yeah, and 0-4 is 0-4. It's not good, but I'm with you. I think at a certain point, you have to take a look at where you stand as a team. What you're looking for is progress, and I'm seeing very clear progress. I mean, Isaiah Crowell is really bursting out. They have a very interesting back in Duke Johnson, who's a very good dual threat. And then, of course, maybe the big breakout, Terrell Pryor, who finally it seems to all put the click together, and he looks like a latter-day Cordell Stewart. There are some exciting things happening in Cleveland.
Yeah, Pryor has just been unbelievable, and he will do whatever Hugh Jackson wants. And, you know, he even said 2 weeks ago that, you know, I'd cut off my finger for this team, whatever it takes. And Pryor, to me, has shown that with hard work, determination, and pure grit and mental fortitude, maybe even intestinal fortitude, that you can do what you want. And when you're a gifted athlete like Terrell Pryor, you can find your way. And, you know, Hugh Jackson had talked about when Terrell was in Cincinnati and Andy Dalton had been hurt and Pryor had already signed on here last year as a wideout at the end of the season. He wanted to bring him back to Cincinnati as a quarterback. And Pryor committed himself last year to becoming a wide receiver. And that's what he wants to do. And Pryor will do whatever the team needs. But Pryor as a wide receiver, we've watched him grow from a guy who had trouble running routes, Wasn't a very good blocker, to a guy now that not only knows how to run routes, but will do anything possible to catch the ball. And when they put the ball up in the air, I feel like Terrell Pryor has a chance to catch it no matter who you're up against, whether it's the best defensive back in the league or some rookie. It doesn't matter. Terrell Pryor has really proven to be a weapon on this team, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him.
When you watch how this team performs, and I understand the frustrations of 0-4, but I really like the way you've had it, sort of the subliminal standings.
Right.
This is a team that is playing much harder under Hugh Jackson. That I think has been exactly as advertised, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that that's a tribute to all the young guys he's got on this team. I mean, you're starting two rookies, and Emmanuel Ogba, who's been a standout so far this season, and you know, Carl Nassib, who's a Penn State kid who looked outstanding in preseason and looked good, he got hurt, and so he's another guy that kind of plays into this. But Joe Schobert, the linebacker out of Wisconsin, has been playing amazing. Derek Kindred, another rookie, is a guy at strong safety. The defensive backs have looked a lot better as the season has progressed. You know, there were some sloppy tackling in yesterday's game, and sometimes that's to be expected. But DeMario Davis came in as a free agent from the Jets, and he's been a real leader on this team. Guys like being around him, and he is, you know, kind of the elder statesman on that defense, making sure that the glue is solid for these guys as far as trying to accomplish some things. So the attitude is right. Jamar Taylor, who had an interception against Miami, is another guy who has played very hard. And these guys are all hungry. If you ask me what is the one thing about this team that bonds them, it's that they don't want to listen to all the outside noise, and they're hungry, and they're hungry to figure out a way to win. They haven't done it yet, but I still feel like a lot of people feel like it's on the horizon. Maybe not this week, but maybe perhaps against Tennessee.
Yeah, now when you look at the fallout, of course, now we know that the Josh Gordon, who's going to try to get himself right and healthy, likely to stay on their reserve suspended list. He's not coming back now, as I think they had hoped after the first four games. What's the team's mindset, both maybe the players and the front office, from your perspective, on this situation? On one hand, it seems like obviously everyone's rooting for Josh Gordon to get himself better and healthy, and that's important. But at the same time, it's frustrating to the Browns, who have stuck with him really through thick and thin, and then they run into another speed bump.
Well, I think with Josh Gordon, there might be time just to move on. And I think that's kind of where they felt where they were with Johnny Manziel as well. Manziel just... the distractions weren't greater than the team goals. And while they, you know, they appreciate Josh and they appreciate, you know, Josh going to get help, I kind of feel like they've turned the page on Josh Gordon. Now, it doesn't make any sense to cut him off the roster. It makes more sense just to kind of hang on. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in rehab. Let's see what the league wants. Because, you know, the one thing about it is his clock isn't ticking. And so, you know, his experience level and the contract and all of those things, it doesn't pay for, I think, for the Browns to release him. Let's see what happens after he comes back from rehab. Let's see what the league says about, you know, another violation. And the word on the street here was that it's alcohol is why he's going back. So if that's the case, if it's not, you know, it's his business and it's nobody else's business on why he's going back into rehab. But I kind of feel like the Browns have turned the page on Josh Gordon, and they have to. Because he's played, what, five games in the last 2 years and a lot of the last 20 or 25 games. So they need to go in a different direction. And I think that they feel good about Terrell Pryor. They feel good about Corey Coleman once he gets back to health. Ricardo Lewis is a rookie that's looked pretty good. And they like Rashard Hollywood Higgins, who really hasn't had a chance to make an impact yet. So I think they like their wide receiving core. I think the fans here like the wide receiving core for the first time in a long time, because it just, you know, Ray Farmer just did not put an emphasis on the wide receiving core. At one point, you know, the wide receiving core was essentially all under 6'1", and you need to have at least one or two big bodies out there. Gary Barnage has stepped up as a tight end, and Terrell Pryor is, you know, has been a guy that had a little bit of size, and I give Ray credit for that, because he went out and got Terrell back at the end of the season last year. But, you know, you had duds like Dwayne Bowe in here last year that just they just couldn't figure it out, whether it was him or whether it was the coaching staff. I now feel like the front office, the coaching staff, everybody's on the same page, and they're all trying to move forward rather than having competitions of, well, I'm going to give you this player, you play him. No, I'm not going to play him. And I think that's been one of the bigger problems here since even 99.
Yeah, that's obviously huge when everyone gets on that same page. And that's important in a game like we'll see on Sunday. Now they get the Patriots Tom Brady is back. He's he's been sunning himself on the Isle of Capri. He's tanned, rested, yes, and ready. And you expect that he's going to try to make some points to an NFL that he's more than a little peeved about. If the Browns happen to win, obviously that'd be spectacular. But what do you want to see, even in a potential loss, that would make you feel positive about the way they're continuing to grow?
A competitive game, a game that comes down to the fourth quarter. I think that's all Browns fans are asking for right now. And we've seen that 3 out of the last 4 weeks. Be competitive. Don't be embarrassed. Look like a football team. Act like a football team. Play like a football team. The bar is pretty low right now because the team is so young and people are buying into what Hugh Jackson's doing. And Hugh's done a great job of, you know, avoiding controversy and trying to keep this team focused. And, you know, the offensive line has been rebuilt 3 times now since the beginning of the season. And injuries keep piling up. And, you know, we're on our third quarterback here in Cleveland. So I think that they just want to go out, look like a football team, maintain what they've been doing for the last couple of weeks. You know, they're going to finish one of these games. And one of these times it's going to be 0-0 at the end of the game. And they're going to be standing there with a win. And Hugh Jackson's going to say, all right, I finally got my first win in Cleveland. Let's go get another one, because these young guys are working hard. I don't know how this is going to feel in week, you know, 15, 16, 17, when you've got a lot of young guys playing longer, playing in a longer season than they ever had before. And you get the cold winter here in Cleveland. So, but right now, week 5, you've got a great opportunity to say, hey, look at us, respect us, because we are changing the culture here in Cleveland. I know it's 0-4, but we're going to get a win here. And wouldn't it be great to do it this week against New England?
Well, as the Browns continue to grow, I agree with you, they will eventually surprise, and you will want to stay tuned with Andy Baskin. He is the sports director of ABC News 5 in Cleveland, and you can catch him on the radio at 92.3 in middays, Andy_Baskin on Twitter. Andy, thank you so much for your time and your insight today.
No problem. Anytime you need it, give me a holler.
All right, terrific. Thank you very much for coming on. Hopefully we'll check with you in a few weeks and see if they got that first win under their belt. And who knows, maybe it'll come against the Patriots. I know that there's probably very few teams in the NFL that would shed a tear for the Patriots if that happened. So thanks to Andy Baskin. And we will be back on the other side with the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
And now it's time for the coach, Brian Billick, who's brought to you by SeatGeek. Visit SeatGeek.com or download the SeatGeek app. Make sure you and your family are getting the best deal on sports and concert tickets every time with SeatGeek. Coach, when you use SeatGeek, what makes that so great?
Well, it's got too many things to cover in just one show. I mean, the great thing is the how broad-based in terms of the different ticket agencies that it brings together for you. You're going to get the best choice. You're going to see exactly where the seats are. You're going to get a rating on how good a deal this is. And most importantly, every transaction is guaranteed by SeatGeek.
Well, I know I use it, and if you use it as well, you can now today use the promo code Billick, and then you'll get $20 back on your first purchase with the SeatGeek app. So do what I do. Do what the coach does. Use SeatGeek. Make sure you get your family the best seats for concerts, sports, and everything else that you can go enjoy. Coach, this is another fascinating week in the NFL, as it always is. But I'll start with the most recent game, the Monday night game last night. As we watched the Minnesota Vikings leap to continue their run. They're now 4-0. There have been essentially a surprise for everybody, in as much as the pieces seem to keep falling off the car here and there, but the car keeps going at full speed. You know, what kind of job are they getting done up there in Minnesota? It's extremely impressive.
Yeah, it's spectacular, and it's because you can base it on defense. This is, for my money, maybe the best defense in the National Football League. They're built right, a dominant front seven, a secondary that doesn't give up big plays. That was the thing last night that jumped out at you, and you knew it was going to be a problem for the New York Giants. They had one big play, the big 67-yarder that they were able to hit, and that was it. You have to try to generate some big plays particularly when you're going to go on the road. And then Minnesota, although not overwhelmingly on offense, but were able to, you know, kind of keep the drives alive. They were 8 of 16 on third down, so they kind of kept the drives alive. They did not turn the ball over. Sam Bradford was excellent that way. And they got just enough out of the running game, which they stuck with 30-plus carries for over 100 yards, that the Giants just couldn't combat that on the road. That's going to be the formula that Minnesota will win with all year long.
Looking over at the NFC East now that the Giants lost that game, they are at 2-2. They started out well, and I think people thought that maybe this was going to all
fit for them going over the season. Now they've lost to everybody else in the divisions on a winning streak. Philly, of course, still leads now with the bye week. They're still unbeaten at 3-0. But there isn't a team with a losing record. Now, we're only four games in. But have we underestimated the NFC East, or has this been something of a beneficiary of the schedule?
Yeah, to a degree. We'll see when they start really taking each other on. We're going to find out about the Philadelphia Eagles, who right now look pretty darn good. I mean, when you look at what happened over the weekend, how impressive is Pittsburgh and what they did to Kansas City? Well, what does that tell us about Philadelphia, who beat them last week and held them to 3 points? How good are, by way of example as well, the Oakland Raiders, who we were kind of dismissive of the fact because they lost at home to Atlanta. They go on the road and beat an undefeated Baltimore team. How good does that tell us Atlanta is? So, you know, you can draw some comparisons. Philadelphia's for real. We're going to find out going forward just how much for real. And the Dallas Cowboys, again, the schedule has not been that taxing for them. But by the same token, you know, they look pretty darn good with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. That they lead the league in third down conversions and they've got the top runner in the National Football League. So, yeah, particularly with New York and Dallas, these teams are for real. Washington still seems to be trying to get its footing. Don't know about them, and we'll see. You know, obviously they have a chance to continue to get better as we move along here. But the division looks very, very good. But I don't know that there's any dominating teams in it. Outside, we'll see how good Philly is. But I don't know that there is any dominating team or division in the NFC right now.
Let's take a look over at those Steelers in the AFC. Now they got Le'Veon Bell back, and you could see what a difference that makes. Pittsburgh's offense essentially just rolled, and this is something that they could do. You saw Le'Veon Bell line up even as a wide receiver for more than a few snaps to make sure that they mix things up and were able to still use D'Angelo Williams, give the Chiefs a lot of different looks. When you look at the AFC now with Pittsburgh kind of being all together again, Pittsburgh, New England, Houston, all leading their divisions at 3-1, Denver at 4-0. Which of these are contenders, and which of these maybe still have a little bit of work to do to get that way?
Well, I think they're all contenders. Denver playing great defense and running the ball, and notwithstanding the quarterback position, but they both, Paxton Lynch looked very calm when he went in. Trevor Siemian obviously has played very solid. The Pittsburgh Steelers still remain to me, you know, this could be a truly dominant team, but here they're a week removed from losing 34-3 to the Philadelphia Eagles. So we still have some sorting out to do. We're only at the quarter mark. We'll know more at the halfway mark, obviously. And for the Steelers coming up, this week they're going to play the Jets. How real are the Jets? Another team that a couple weeks ago, me included, were saying, wow, this team is a Super Bowl caliber team. Now they can't even get out of their way, having nine interceptions in the last two games. But we're going to find out about the Steelers because they're going to play the Jets. They have to go to Miami, and it's always tough going down into Miami to play. And then they're going to play the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens. So we're going to know by the midway point just how real and consistent the Pittsburgh Steelers are. Was that 34-3 beatdown by the Philadelphia Eagles the proverbial wake-up call, or was it an indicator that maybe there are still some chinks in the armor?
Well, one of the teams that you mentioned also earlier that surprised, I think, a lot of folks, the Atlanta Falcons are 3-1. There is an impression that maybe they're doing it with smoke and mirrors to an extent. They lost that opening game to Tampa Bay when Jameis Winston just looked electric, and he hasn't looked the same since. But they're averaging almost 40 points a game. That's probably not sustainable. But given the shootouts they've been in, you wonder if that's almost what they're going to have to do to keep winning. So if you're the Atlanta Falcons, what do you do to keep everything rolling, knowing that you probably can't, barring something very strange, keep putting up 40 a game?
Yeah, well, the most impressive thing to me is the fact that the wins they've gotten on the road at Oakland and New Orleans. I know New Orleans isn't a great team, but still a tough place to play. And then a very physical Carolina Panthers team. And to win where they did with Matt Ryan having a record year, he's on pace to just blow away. 2012 was his best year. We had, you know, 4,700 yards, and I think it was 36 touchdowns, something like that. He's on pace to just blow that away. You're right. It's unrealistic to think they're going to stay at this pace. But with Devontae Freeman in the backfield, with Mohamed Sanu opposite the receiver, they're, and the offensive line playing very well, this is a very legitimate offensive group. Now, defensively, you know, they may have to score 40 points a game because defensively I think they still may struggle a little bit. Remember now, they did give up 33 points to Carolina and 32 points to New Orleans. So that's Drew Brees and Cam Newton. I get that. But they also gave up 28 points to the Oakland Raiders and 31 points to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they're still struggling defense to keep increase their pass rush ability a little bit, get a little bit better that way. But I think this is a team that certainly can be a factor.
The Patriots have Tom Brady back in action this week. They play the Browns, who are winless. This doesn't look like a real good matchup for the Browns, but it looks like a great place for Tom Brady to kickstart his 2016 campaign. Do you expect any sort of growing pains or any sort of wobbliness coming back, or is Brady and Belichick, is this a well-oiled enough machine that it's going to look like he never left?
Oh, no, yeah, more of the latter, although there may be some pickups on the way. I look at this like a Broadway play. You know, what do? You take it out of town to get it up to snuff, and you bring it back to town into New York. Well, this is their off-Broadway, out-of-town debut, good place to go, play a Cleveland team. I don't know. I mean, the football guys just, I don't know what they have against the Cleveland Browns. You know, the tight losses they've had, and now they've got to take on the New England Patriots. Oh, by the way, Tom Brady coming back. Tough combination. Obviously a good team for New England to open with on the road. Kind of, you know, get the, you know, dust off the rust, so to speak. And I imagine it'll be a game plan that's heavy. Cleveland's near last in the league, or one of the worst teams in the league against the run. So I imagine we're going to see a lot of LeGarrette Blount. Let Tom Brady get his feet underneath him. And so then when they come back, we'll see exactly after. Because, you know, they got some interesting games after this, and they're obviously poised for it. Most, not the least of which, they're going to play the Cincinnati Bengals. They got to play the Pittsburgh Steelers at Pittsburgh, and then they get to go back at those Buffalo Bills who they just lost to. So they're going to be challenged coming up, but I'm sure they're excited about it.
Well, we've been talking about the good thing teams have been doing, and there's a lot of those stories around the league, but one of the ones that stands out is a team that's not getting it done, and that is the Arizona Cardinals, now 1-3. Carson Palmer in the concussion protocol. They have a Thursday night football game coming up. On the surface, it doesn't look like there's that much wrong with the Cardinals, but something is obviously off kilter, Coach. What are you seeing?
Well, they're a little like the Carolina Panthers. I was talking all day yesterday on my shows for the NFL Network. People say, okay, what's wrong with the Carolina Panthers? And when you look at them, they're not far off. I mean, they're not running the ball quite as well as last year. They're not quite as good on third down. They're not quite as explosive. Defensively, they're not quite as dynamic. They're good, but not quite what we saw last year. And you add all those up, and all of a sudden now, that means some losses. The Arizona Cardinals appear the same way. They just don't seem to be as good as they were last year. Still solid. But not good enough, obviously, to get a win. And now they've played a couple good teams here. The New England Patriots, obviously, Buffalo on a little bit of a roll. The Rams, it's always a tough defensive struggle with the Rams. I'm not quite sure what's going to have to happen. The offensive line's going to have to step up. They're going to have to start getting down the field a little bit more with that gifted receiving core they have. And that front seven in particular, the defense needs to start showing up and doing the things that it did last year in terms of putting pressure on the quarterback and stuffing the running game.
He is the coach, Brian Billick, and you can use that same last name, Billick, on the SeatGeek app right now and get $20 back on your first purchase with the SeatGeek app. Coach, thank you so much for the insight. We'll catch you next week.
Sounds good.
Coming up next, we'll go into overtime with Peter King.
Overtime.
This week, we're delighted to be joined by Peter King, editor-in-chief of MMQB.com. That's Monday Morning Quarterback, the site that's become synonymous with the best and deepest NFL coverage anywhere. Peter's brought to us by SeatGeek, because it's football season. The NFL and college football are in full swing. Baseball's playoffs are upon us, so be sure to visit SeatGeek.com and download the SeatGeek app for all the best ticket deals. Remember, the NHL and NBA seasons are on the horizon, too, so make sure you and your family are getting the best deals for the most exciting sporting events every time with SeatGeek. How are you doing today, Peter?
Everything's going great. Thank you for hosting me today. This is going to be fun.
Our pleasure. Well, I'll go with a couple quick ones for you. We'll start right here. Odell Beckham Jr. suggests that he's being targeted by officials after his three-catch, 23-yard performance on Monday Night Football. Do the Zebras really let defenders have their way with him more than any other receiver?
No, but that was a marginal call against the Minnesota Vikings that Xavier Rhodes could have been flagged for hitting Beckham out of bounds. But my feeling is that once you start to get this paranoia, that the league is against you, that the officials are against you. I think Odell Beckham needs to understand that every official in this league is judged on every call he makes. And if he goes over the line on Odell Beckham Jr. to either call something against him or to do something out of the ordinary against one player, A, he's not going to get any playoff assignments. B, he's not going to be in the league for very long. So I think most of that is a figment of Odell Beckham's imagination.
Let's stick with wide receivers. Josh Gordon will stay on the reserve suspended list after saying he would enter rehab. And that seems like the right thing for him. I don't think there's any question about that. And while there's no need for the Browns to move on immediately, is this relationship irrevocably damaged?
I think the Browns, especially the current iteration of the front office and coaching staff, I had invested so much time and energy, and basically it's about the fourth major stumble that he's had, Josh Gordon has had. And my feeling is that at this point, especially when you're trying to build a program, you are getting ready to have him come onto your team after being let back in football by the NFL after his year-long suspension. And you have to ask yourself, why are we in this business? Are we in this business to try to get somebody off the substances that have bedeviled him for most of his adult life? Or are we in here to win football games? Well, I think most teams would say, maybe one, two, or three strikes, okay, we can take it from a great player, but no matter how great he is, at some point, we got to pull the plug. In my opinion, the Browns have reached that point. I don't know if they are going to, get rid of him after he finishes this rehab, but in my opinion, they should.
Coming off their shocking shutout win over the Patriots, the Bills coach Rex Ryan said that he was, quote, BSing about having sources that tipped him off about Jacoby Brissett starting at quarterback. Now, with Rex, there's a lot of gamesmanship. Is this just fun, or does this maybe start to undermine the trust between the Bills, Ryan, and the media that covers him?
I mean, anybody who I heard, I read his transcript from the press conference where he claimed to know what was going on with the Patriots. There's no way he was going to know what goes on with the Patriots. There's no way he's going to know who's going to start for the Patriots. He says that almost in a comedic way, and it's just part of his shtick. I mean, maybe it's because I've known Ryan for a long time, and I've listened to him for a long time, but he's one of those coaches that about 85% of what he says, I think, just goes in one ear and out the other because a lot of it is so silly. I just don't think it matters. And I don't think that we ought to be taking seriously when he gets on the conference call and asks Julian Edelman, hey, Julian Waltatulski from the Buffalo News, are you playing quarterback this week? I mean, it's a shtick. It's fun. So I don't think it's to be taken very seriously.
Well, keeping in the taking maybe a little gamesmanship being taken seriously, Josh Norman really went after the Carolina Panthers after their loss this season, needling them, saying, quote, you get what you pay for. Now, obviously, they parted ways with him in the offseason in one of sort of the most bizarre and notable stories in the offseason. How badly did the Panthers realistically now regret that decision?
Well, I know Dave Gettleman quite well. He's general manager of the Panthers. And I can tell you pretty categorically that Dave Gettleman does not regret the decision. And in fact, let's think about, I just looked this up yesterday. Let's think about the Carolina Panthers right now and what they've done so far this year. Their defense in the first three games of the year allowed 307, 302, and 211 net yards. And so that is not, it's not the defense's fault what's going on. Now, they got shredded by the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. So everybody is going to say, clearly, their defense, the rush isn't there. They don't cover as well, blah, blah, blah. And in my opinion, I talked to Julio Jones after this game. I really think that a part of the problem was in the game plan, was in how they defended Julio Jones, because in a lot of ways they singled Julio Jones, his 77 or 75 yard touchdown, whatever it was. Then Ben Wickery didn't have any help until he was too far gone. So I just look at this and I say we can't really be prisoners of the moment. They had a really bad defensive game, but they just simply don't believe in paying a cornerback $15 million or $14 million, whatever it was. And so far, since Gettleman has gotten there, he's been proven right in his personnel acumen. We'll see how this pans out, but no, I don't think they're second-guessing themselves over it.
Last one, Peter. The first-round pick, Paxton Lynch, played well at quarterback in relief of the injured Trevor Siemian in Denver's easy win over Tampa. Broncos coach Gary Kubiak stated unequivocally that Siemian would remain the starter. Now, is that the right choice, or is it just the safe one?
It's the right choice. I think Gary Kubiak loved the intelligence and the decision-making of Trevor Siemian, and he's got a better arm than people give him credit for. So I think that Trevor Siemian not only has done nothing to lose this job, but he's really, in the last, whatever, six quarters that he played, he was a huge factor in helping his team win. So I think this absolutely is the right decision. You don't make a replacement at a position on the field unless you are trying to make your team better. Benching a healthy enough Trevor Siemian would be making this team worse.
Brought to you by SeatGeek. He's the one and only Peter King. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at @SI_PeterKing and visit MMQB.com for the most insightful NFL coverage on a daily basis. Thanks for your time, Peter.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's the final gun, and it's a wrap for now, but be sure to check all the archives posted at audioboom.com. Search for NFL Files. Check out all the podcasts for every team in the league, because we cover them all. My name is Sean Drotar, and you can follow me on Twitter at @SDrotar. That's S-D-R-O-T-A-R. We'll catch you next week.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.